Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming from Phoenix, Arizona. And today we have a very special guest. He's been on, well, he's played Nightwing, to say the least, in DC animated movies, a good chunk of them. He's also been on Firefly, Arrow, Serenity, shit ton more too. In this very, very laid-back episode, we welcome Sean Marr to the show. Actor, voice actor, plenty of other things. He's on the show today. Sean and I talk about obviously playing Nightwing for a little bit, what it was like, how we got the roles and whatnot, and also talked about Firefly, that experience with fans and everything. And you know, sometimes we get out there and we have crazy ass episodes, sometimes very laid back episodes. Today is a very, very laid back episode, you know, so I definitely want to let people know, thank you for tuning in. As well as if you guys want to stay tuned with more, you can follow on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or comiccronicle.podbean.com. Subscribe, guys, and share the show. It helps us greatly. And so, like I said, today's very laid-back episode, Sean Marr's on it. Without further ado, so I don't butcher this intro anymore, our interview with Sean Marr. And we're recording. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Now, I gotta say, it is a complete honor to have you here today, because you, if people look at your IMDb resume, it blows us out of the park here. As a fellow actor, I'm looking at it like, oh, damn, this guy works a lot.
Oh, wow. You're very kind.
Of course. Now, you've worked it. How long have you been working in the entertainment business?
Oh, gosh. It's right out of college, so got 25 years. Is that correct?
25, 26.
Yeah, 25-ish. Yeah.
Not bad. That's a pretty good record on there. I mean, you're doing 25 in there. You've done live action. You've done voiceover, voice acting, and you know, which one do you like more? Because I gotta ask, because there's a lot of people I bring on to this show, and as an actor, just mostly on screen, which one do you prefer doing?
You know, they're so different. It's hard to kind of pick one over the other. I think the perks of voiceover, which I thought, you know, you roll in with a baseball cap and PJs. That was never my experience. It was always like, you know, hair and makeup at 7:30, and you've been looking for what? And, you know, oh, we're shooting B-roll for, you know, the DVD. For me, it was just it was nothing I ever imagined it to be. I also found it quite difficult because I'm always in the booth by myself. Aww. So it's interesting to say these lines without having another actor, you know, to work with. On the flip side, it was just sort of, you know, I was so green at it all that I just relinquished all of my control to, you know, the director.
Fair enough.
Just, you know, kind of just saying, you tell me what to do. You know, there's always a, you know, there's a, as I'm sure you know, if you're given a line reading on set, it's one of the most insulting things for an actor. If a director comes up, it's like, oh, you know, if you could say it more like, hey, Jane, you know, and you're like, what? Did you just give me a line reading? Like, it's horrible.
Whereas,
you know, with the voiceover work, I was like, hey, can you just say it for me, and then I'll just, you know, parrot it back to you. Yeah. I had done that a few times because I just trust that they know what they want, and they're hearing it. Nightwing is really, you know, the first and only voiceover I've ever done. And when they offered it to me, I thought I was going to be fired. The first film,
really.
Second film, yeah, thought I was going to be fired, and then the third film, I was like, oh wow, they must like what I'm doing. And it coincided with the third film being one of the more fun storylines for me. So I had a greater ease, and it was more playful, and I just had a blast.
Which one was the third film for people who may not know?
Batman Bad Blood.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, pretending to be Batman.
No, I'm kidding.
But truly, I mean, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of like stepped blindly into it. And, it's funny, I reverted back to, you know, my, you know, conservatory voice training, which I hadn't done in forever. And I just found that if I wasn't fully warmed up physically, then I just kind of fell short. Like, I feel like if I was not, like, you know, if I wasn't, you know, if my body wasn't resonating the voice, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's, some people do that, some people don't. I think that it's a 50-50 draw sort of thing on there. I was taught to do that for some roles and taught to do it for some that aren't. I did one audition where I kind of did that. Might explain why I didn't get the part, but still. But in the sense where I think that's cool that you do that, because some people get physical. There's voice actors who I know who don't get physical, and they're like, well, just, they're able to do it without it, which, by the way, extremely talented. But
amazing, yeah.
In that sense, I think people don't really... Some people think, oh, they just walk in, because there's people who do talk about the walk-in and the PJs and shit. I've had friends of mine do that, and they do get yelled at for that because they have to do that, you know, that interview or something like you've been through. And it's very fascinating to tell people that sort of thing that really blows their mind, because they think voice actor, a lot of people tend to think, is they walk in PJs and they go in for just a couple hours and then they're done for the rest of it. It's like, yes.
Right.
There's a little bit more to it than that. I mean,
yes.
I love that about it, and I think I don't get to do as much as often as I would hope I could do, but for you, on the other hand, you gotta have more, like, goals a little bit more than Nightwing. As much as I love you being Nightwing, by the way, and I think you're extremely talented at doing it and bringing the character to life, and I think you're iconic as him at this point.
Aw, thanks.
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, I put it out there as a test to some of, like, the loyal fans out there. I was like, hey, people... I got Sean coming on the show, and they're like, oh, Sean. And you pronounce your name Meyer, right? Or Mayer?
Mar.
Okay, I was completely off.
Mar. Or Maher.
Maher? Okay.
It's Maher with an Irish brogue is Mar, so it became Mar.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I dig it. So I told them you were coming on the show, and people were ecstatic. They're like, you're bringing on Nightwing before I could even say what you were doing and what you've done. So let that be known that in the comic book community, at least, you're really known as that. And I think that's really cool and iconic sort of thing, you know? And I really hope you keep bringing the character to life in more different ways, because, like, how did you land the role of him, though? Was it one of those things? And did you know who he was beforehand?
You know, it's so funny. I vaguely knew. I was almost embarrassed when they offered. So there's a Andrea Romano. Is her name? She's a sort of an iconic voice director, and she was a fan, and we had been introduced. Actually, I think we just met via email, and then it was like probably like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Just lovely to virtually meet her, and then out of nowhere, I just got an email one night, and she's like, "I'm so sorry, it's been so long, but I was waiting for, you know, a great role to offer you." And that was it. And I was like, oh, wow. And then that was, you know, and then I started obviously researching, and and now I'm a little obsessed with him.
I mean,
you know, I don't know. Every time I finish a film, I have no idea if they'll ask me back or not. And, so each time, that's probably part of it. You know, I enjoy it because I don't know if it's going to be my last. So we just premiered Hush.
Yes.
On San Diego Comic-Con, and I did a little tiny cameo in Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. Or Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go. Yeah.
By the way, Hush is a wonderful movie, by the way. I got to put that out
there. That's a great film, yeah. I was really... really liked it when I saw it. Oh. Very different, I felt. Which is so hard. You know, again, with the other thing with voice acting, it's really hard. Like, when I'm doing live action and I read a script of an episode of a television film or a television show or a film, I can sort of, like, see it and picture it, and I don't have that gift with animation. I do the best I can to tell the story and portray the character. But then when I see it, I'm like, wow, you know, I thought it had a really, really pretty powerful movie. Much more emotional than I realized and psychological. And I loved it when I saw it.
I think that's one of the gifts of people who've done it like yourself. I have a few good friends of mine for years now, and they've done almost all voice acting gigs. That's all they ever do. And they've talked about it to me off record and everything, and in the sense when we hang out sometimes. And they said, you know, that's the beauty of doing being a voice actor, is that, you know, when you're in that booth, you're trying to picture it. But yeah, whenever you see it in person, like, well, on screen, technically, or maybe on a page or something like that, is it blows you out of the park, because you're like, it's always better than anything you could imagine.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool thing, yeah, you know? Like, your mind can maybe make it. Your mind's doing it. But then it's like, then the animators are like, step aside, Sean's mind. We got
sure,
this.
Sure, sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Now, quickly, I kind of want to, well, not quickly, but I kind of want to ask you about this, because I always like trying to ask people's origin stories, especially people who work in the same business I do, a film and a television. What was kind of your origin story, man? How did you kind of get into acting? Like, what was that thing where you're like, you know what? I want to be an actor. And it clicked.
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually had a pivotal moment that I remember. And I was seeing, I grew up in New York, mm-hmm, and my mom and I would go into the city and see shows. We would stand on the, it was called the TKTS line, to get all the, you know, nosebleed seats. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I saw Into the Woods, which was and always will be my favorite musical. So that was it. I remember sitting there and being like, wow, I want to do that. And so I started actually in musical theater. I went to NYU for musical theater. Before I left, yeah, I did my first year in the musical theater department, and then I moved to the experimental theater wing, and then I landed at Playwrights Horizons for my last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, initially it was singing.
I dig that, though. I'm a fellow theater kid, so I dig that,
yeah,
a lot. Like, that's...
Oh, man, I love it. Musical theater was my thing. And I don't know how it happened, but I just sort of just like opened up my mouth one day, and I had this singing voice, and yeah, that was it. And it was really, you know, I just didn't really have much of a calling before that. Like, I wasn't very good at sports, and I dabbled here and there, but I just didn't know, like, you know, what my thing was. And then, you know, I found the theater, and the theater, our clique, like, you know, the theater kids, sort of became my home, you know, my family. And I you know, I was pretty much didn't have many friends before that, so yeah, it was all encompassing. It was like, sort of, I found my calling, and I found a support group, and I found, you know, a place to, you know, channel all my energy. And by the time we were in our senior year of high school, I think we had put up like 6 shows that year. We just had a really passionate group of kids, and you know, a remarkable theater director, and but not just like actors, mm-hmm, directors and lighting designers, and you know, costume, and a lot of you know, a lot who have gone on to work in there, you know, in that industry, in what they, oops, go get her. Sorry. No. Go get her. Somebody's here to take the dog.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. I'm like worried about my studio cat right now. It's just hanging out of my chair. Well, that's the thing, though. I think theater is almost the amazing thing with that, because I've called it this, and plenty of other people have agreed. Theater is the gateway drug to creativity in high school.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's just one of those scenes, like, you, once you're in it, and if you're the creative mindset of, you have it in you, maybe you don't know what to do with it, or you don't understand it, or maybe it's just one of those scenes where you're like, I'm like that of, you know, I don't really click in with these other people and whatnot. I got good friends of mine who are big sports players and whatnot, and big sports team leaders and everything like that. And everyone's like, why is the nerd kid with these guys? Like, well, you never know. But so it's like, we click, but the people you truly click with are the creatives and whatnot. And theater has always been that thing where, especially in high school, you're able to channel your inner self and figure out kind of who you are and have those people that have therapy and be able to be what you want to be. And yeah, sometimes people take it to other things, sometimes they don't. But I think high school theater is something that people don't really pay much attention to anymore, but I think it's really worth it, because you can end up like us kids at home. You never know.
Yeah, sure.
What do you have, like, a production that you still remember? Like,
We did Into the Woods in high school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was the one, huh?
And that will always, I will always remember that.
well, yeah, that got you to be an actor, and then you're like, oh my god, the thing that got me to be here, we're doing it? Like,
yeah.
That's cool.
I knew everybody. every song, everybody's lines, I knew everything. It was pretty awesome.
Mine is one where, and you might laugh at this, it was Night of the Living Dead, the musical.
Oh, I don't think I know that.
No, it's one that, it's around, I think it was turned into something recent in the past, like, decade or something like that. And a lot of high schools are doing it. And every now and then it pops up in, like, a bigger studio or a bigger stage company. But I gotta say, Sean, if you ever do anything, do you still do theater or no?
I would like to. I haven't in a while. Okay. It's been years since I've not done a musical in,
if you dig 20, into
25 years.
Oh, Jesus. You decide to dust off the old theater grinds, then, or gears. Let me tell you, if you find one that does that, do it, because it's so entertaining. Okay. It's so... I could rage on about that with a passion, but, oh my god, it was fun. Now, this has turned into the theater podcast, folks.
All right.
But, so that's, like, theater got you in, man, and then you started live action first, sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of, it just kind of, all sort of was all laid out for me. I was graduating. We had, like, you know, an industry night, where there were like 30 of us, I think, from the graduating class. And, you know, we were presented to the agents and managers, and there was a casting director there who brought me in for a soap. And it was like my first audition was this soap opera. And then she made a few phone calls, and lo and behold, I just ended up with my agent, who was my agent for like 11 years. So it all just sort of, you know, kind of just all happened. And I never thought I would be doing TV and film. I always thought I was going to be, you know, a New York theater snob.
You're like, all right, I'm just going to be the New York theater and just do all that, like Broadway and everything.
Oh, but that was it. I mean, I just, you know, and my first role was, you know, I did a show for Fox called Ryan Caulfield Year One, and suddenly I went from being a barista in the West Village to being a young rookie cop on the streets of South Philadelphia, and that was it. And I just sort of rode the wave and worked with Fox for years. And
fair enough. A domino effect. I really love hearing that, because it's one thing where I think actors who do listen to the show, they listen to the film show, I do too, but I do have a bunch of actors who do listen to this one, and people maybe who want to get into the industry as being an actor or actress. And I think that people need to realize that sometimes, you know, sometimes it just takes one thing and you never know the domino effect.
Oh, yeah.
Look at your story. Like, you've done, it was that one thing, and then after that, it just fell. And it's obviously doing fairly well for you, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, I always think, even when I'm like in the, you know, slumps, like, oh god, you know.
Yeah. Will that work again?
It's like, you know, you're always one.
Yeah.
Job, just one job away, you know. Yeah. And I have to be reminded that. I mean, I say that now, but it's harder for me to hear it, I think.
It's true. I think as actors, we never want to take that thing of, like, we always think when things are going slow, because we all have that slow period, no matter who you are.
Sure.
Is, we're never going to work again. I'm going to die. I'm never going to eat. What is this? And we have that moment, but we're full of shit, you know?
We
really are, because something's going to come up, especially if you're talented and you're working in long enough. If you have that one thing, you just got to have that hope. You just got to have that knowledge to know, all right, everybody has a slow period. There's a slow period on everything. You just never know what's going to happen around the corner. And that's, I think, the beauty of what we do, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, who knows? If you would have told yourself, hey, you get to play Nightwing, would younger you be like, one, who is that, or two?
Probably.
Yeah, like, did you know much about playing, like, Nightwing the character before you started? Like, voice acting?
No. I mean, I knew Dick Grayson. I wasn't privy to, obviously, I knew, you know, Boy Wonder and Dick Grayson, and then I just wasn't really, 100%.
Like,
knowledgeable about the whole Nightwing evolution of him becoming, you know, this older superhero.
Were you ever fans of the comics at all, or those things were like, you know, I like them, but maybe I just don't dive into them that much?
Yeah, I don't. I've never. Yeah, unless I was watching it,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember like ever collecting comics or reading comics. I mean, I guess here and there, but I do remember watching, you know, cartoons, and I remember the original Batman, and I remember, you know, certainly like tuning in, but not, I was never one to follow, you know, the hard copy, the actual comics.
Yeah, which, that's a lot of fans these days, too. Like, I don't think it's ever changed. There's always going to be that fandom. Like, I think it's 50-50. There are fans that watch things and read, and then there's fans that just watch. And
yeah.
I'm a guy who doesn't judge. If you go into the comic book community and be like, oh, I'm a comic fan, but I just watch stuff. People are like, death to the witch or something like that. I don't know. But I'm like one of those. I'm like, I'm a lover of everybody. So it's just like, hey, you know, if they're still a fan. They're still promoting a little bit. They're still doing it. I mean, do you read anything tied into what you, like, say you got a movie coming up. They tell you, oh, it's based on this story. Do you read the books and then dive into the character? Like, then you do the recording? Or do you read after the recording or maybe not read at all?
Huh. Good question. Yeah. I think I would probably read first. I mean, with Nightwing, I wasn't ever, I didn't really do much of anything. They wouldn't give me any art. I had a picture of him that I had on, like, in the booth with me on the stand where I would keep, you know, the script. But they wouldn't let me keep it when I left, which was a bummer. But that's all I did. You know, it's all very secretive. So, yeah, but everyone was like, oh, did you listen to, you know, Neil Patrick Harris? No, I didn't want to.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah, I just sort of didn't want to get anything else in my ear.
You don't want to compare, right? You don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to sound like this guy. I want to sound like my own thing. I think Mark Hamill said the same thing, too, when he was cast as Joker. They said he didn't want to look at Jack Nicholson or anything like that. He's like, all right, I'm going to be my own sort of thing here. I don't want to...
Sure.
I don't want to be copied. They said, don't look at Nicholson. Don't look at that movie. Just don't look at it. Just be your own thing. And he's like, I never wanted to anyway. He's like, because if you look at somebody else who's doing, you're doing something that someone's already done. And I think if you look at them and you, or listen to them, then you just try to copy that no matter what you do. It's just a mental human thing. And it's really weird, but it's true. You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, it's just, and I mean, it's only been, who's played Nightwing? It's been you, Neil Patrick Harris, and I think one other person, I can't remember the name, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on it. I know from Young Justice, and I got friends of mine on that show, so they're going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, you idiot, like, I know, sorry. No, so I think that's kind of cool, though. So you're, like, in the selective Bat group of the Bat family there of very few people have played the role. I mean, obviously, we got the live-action one coming up right now, which, have you tuned into that at all or seen anything on it with the Titans show?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
No, okay.
I don't know much about that.
It may be worth checking out. I don't know. It depends on how much a fan you are of, like, the hyper-gritty, realistic, the grittiness, like, gritty superhero stuff. If you're a fan of that, then go for it. But if not, then...
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So... Do you have any fun moments, man, of playing Nightwing, to say the least? Like, was there, like, any fun times behind the booth maybe that you had? I know you said you didn't get to interact with people that much, which I always find is a bummer, don't you?
It is.
Hey, folks, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is amazing, fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the book. So draw in the comics in Glendale, Arizona. Get yourself a box, you know. Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. His work, all the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least they are for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics, you know. And you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Draw in the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. Yeah, I mean, it's because...
Yeah, I didn't... You know. I've not met anybody yet who has had that, though. I just thought it was like a scheduling thing and we couldn't get in. But it seems like... It seems to be the experience of a lot of other voice actors that I've spoken to. Yeah, like, you know, I was in Australia working and I had to do post on, I forget which movie it was, and I was looping something and I heard Marina Baccarin's voice.
Oh.
And I was like, is Marina in this movie? And they're like, oh yeah, you didn't know. I was like, no, I don't, I know nothing. I like, I show up and I say these lines and, you know, and it's so funny, and I text her and I'm like, we're in this movie together. And, you know, we had, neither one of us had any idea.
That's kind of weird. That's almost, I hear about it, but it just always perplexes me sometimes when you're like, you're in this movie or TV show? Like, wait, what? Like, it's that secretive stuff of, sometimes you think it makes sense to let the actors know who they're working with, you know, and to be like, that's what doesn't come out. And they're like, oh, I hate that person. I have 5 scenes with that person. Son of a bitch. It's like, you know, which doesn't happen that often in voiceover. But, yeah, that's nuts. That's really nuts. So did you see her, or is it just one of those you just heard her voice on the monitor?
I just heard her voice, and I was looping, and and I was all the way on the other side of the world, and I was like, oh, this is so funny. But the first, I will tell you, the first time I ever, so I did my first film, I'm not kidding when I say I thought I was going to be fired. I was like, I just didn't know what I was doing, and I showed up, and... I don't know. I just really was like, this is just, I was like, they just don't know what they're doing. And I didn't know it. Everyone's like, you know, how do you approach it? I was like, I didn't know. I did my voice warm up and I showed up and I like looked at the picture of him. And then we premiered it, at WonderCon in Anaheim. You know, and then that was a whole other thing. They were like, hey, do you want to come down and, you know, and then we'll take you and the family to, you know, to Disneyland the day after. And I was like, oh, well, gosh, my parents are visiting and I don't know if I can do this. And they're like, well, bring them. And I was like, all right, you know? And so lo and behold, that was it. And I'm sitting, you know, the first time I'm seeing this movie, I'm sitting at this Comic-Con and, you know, I think there were 3,000 fans watching the movie.
Jesus,
you know, and the second that Nightwing came on screen, it was like, and I was like, holy moly, you know, like goosebumps all up and down my body. But when I watched it, I was like, oh, they've absolutely played with my voice. Like they must have, you know, tweaked it here and there. And, you know, I saw Andrea right after the movie and I was like, what did you guys do, you know, with my voice? And she's like, nothing, that's you. Like, what do you mean? She's like, no, we didn't touch your voice, that's you. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because it sounded like me but it didn't sound like me. And so, you know, so when people ask me like, what do I do, I'm like, I don't know. And then when I hear it back, I'm I've just naturally thought that they had somehow, I don't know.
That might be one of those things where it's like when you, that's, what was it? I don't remember what scientific community came out with it, but they said it like, when you hear yourself, you don't think that's how you sound. And it's like, all right. That's true. Because whenever I hear a podcast, I hear people listening to the podcast every now and then, or someone's playing it, and I hear myself on there, and I'm like, oh my God, I sound like shit. That's not how I truly sound. No, it must have been a mic problem or something. No. The Emperor Palpatine, though, all of a sudden. But, yeah, that must be one of those. But then automatically, you get that fan applause. That had to be... Which movie was it, by the way? The first one that you did.
The first one...
You've done a lot, so I have to recall.
Oh, shoot. I don't remember what the first one was. Son of Batman?
I think
is that
so.
My first one?
Well, the Son of Batman, Batman Bad Blood, Batman Hush. There's a few others. I like how we're drawing blanks right now, but I know fans are going to be like, you fools! That's usually how that goes. Man, I can't think of it, but whatever, whichever one it was, you still got that fan applause, like, right in the beginning. That had to be amazing. That had to be just,
It was incredible, yeah.
You knew you're off to a good start, at least, to say the least. You're like,
sure.
3,000 people are applauding me? I'm doing good.
Yeah, it was great. And just, the love for the character was so apparent.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Nightwing, which is one of the things I'm like, I got friends of mine who play Robin. I got friends of mine who do all this other jazz. I've done a few things as characters can't talk about. But in a sense there, it's one of those where Nightwing is such a popular guy in the comics and the comic book community, whether cartoons, whether it's comics and whatnot. So he's honestly one where I think it's the limelight is starting to get noticed a little bit more. I don't know if you've noticed that or not on the character, maybe playing him you have.
Sure.
But people are starting to notice who he is now. They're like, who is that? And I was like, that's Dick Grayson Robin. They're like, that's Dick? And
Yeah.
Batman, people think like Batman 66. And they're like, all right, like the Adam West, Dick Grayson. And they're like, you grew up to be that? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh. Man, that's amazing though. And it's got to be cool to be able to bring a comic character to life. But do you have maybe one that, put it out there now, do you have one that maybe you'd want to play in the future? Like a different guy or something?
Yeah, I don't know. To switch over to the Marvel Universe, I like Banner, Hulk.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you want to play the Bruce Banner? All right, I'd take that. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I could see it. With the voice, I could really see it, too, being the innocent kind of guy a little bit, but secretly hiding, like, the monster.
Sure.
That's cool. I dig.
Yeah.
Like, out of all of them, Banner, you never hear that. You're like, I want to play Bruce. Like, what? You don't want to play, like, Cap or something? No, Bruce. Why Bruce?
I don't know. Yeah. I think exactly what you just said, sort of the, you know, the sort of quiet, reserved, you know, trying to keep all that Hulk in, you know?
Yeah, that's a challenge as a voice actor to be like, you got to have confidence, but not too much confidence because you don't want to, like, you got to still be somewhat reserved about, like, we could do this. Oh, okay. Well, maybe not. Fine. Sort of thing. Like, all right. It's like, Cap, we can, I don't know. I don't want to give lines out about stuff here because fans are going to be like, that would never, fans are fun, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. It's just been one of those things with that, but there's been a lot of things going on with that recently, but. Now, can you talk about anything? Do you have any upcoming projects you want to talk about, man?
You know, I don't.
No? Or ones that you can talk about? I know NDAs can be terrible sometimes.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I don't really... Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that are kind of in the works, but nothing I can really... Not NDA, really, just sort of... Nothing's finalized.
Fair enough. Yeah. Now, I gotta ask this because I know all about there's things I wish I could talk about on the shows, but it can never do. It's always the fun times. Do you have a favorite piece of maybe any of the animated movies that's your favorite that you've been a part of? Or is Batman Hush that one, like we mentioned earlier? Or
probably Hush. Or Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why those two out of all of them?
I think. You know, I for me, Bad Blood was just it was nice to sort of tap into, you know, a little bit of the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think for Hush, it was just there was so much emotion, and psychological is the word I keep thinking. It was just there was so much going on outside of, you know. The general, like, good guy, bad guy, save the day, you know, there was just so much of, you know, an undercurrent of emotion.
Which has got to be good for you to be as, like, okay, this isn't just a standard thing anymore, there's emotion, there's death, there's all this I get to play with as a voice actor, and I just, but Nightwing's been the only thing you've been able to do as voice acting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Even when I audition, I don't get anything. Just Nightwing.
Fair enough. I relate to that a hard. It's like, I audition like a son of a bitch, but I don't ever get anything else. That's fun. I mean, would you want that to be only your voice acting thing, or do you think maybe you'd want to be able to do more voice acting? I mean, as you mentioned, you do auditions.
Oh, yeah.
But...
No, I'd be open to, yeah. I'd be open to more. Absolutely.
Fair enough. Do you have, I kind of want to talk about your on-screen performance too a little bit, man, because obviously we got to talk about that because that's a big part of your career too. And what was like some of your favorite stuff that you think you've done to give people an idea of what you've done, like on-screen stuff?
Well, outside of Firefly.
That's true. I was saving that one, but we could touch upon Firefly if you want.
Sure. I mean, Firefly is obviously near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
But, you know, continues to live, you know, these decades after, I guess.
It's true. I think that's never going to go away, don't you?
I mean, now we're starting to see new generations of, I guess, you know, we meet the newbies, you know, the 12 and 13-year-olds whose parents have introduced them to the show, and, you know, well, we meet them at the Comic-Cons. It doesn't, you know, I'll watch it every now and then, and, you know, it doesn't feel dated. For some reason, it's got a timeless quality to it, which I think is part of the reason why it still resonates.
Oh, yeah. That was a show I did want to talk about, Firefly. But so it works. There is the thing about it that I think it never will get old. It's never going to, you know, never lose interest because it's one of those things where at the time it came out, there wasn't really anything like it. There's maybe been one or two, but nowadays... You get stuff like that a lot, but Firefly still stands out. You got the comics that are out now. You got the fan stuff that's out now. Like, I truly think Firefly, and, you know, here's the bigger question. Would you want a season two at this point?
It is a great question. As much as I'd love to, listen, if they were going to do it, absolutely, I'd be on board. But part of me wonders if it's just best to leave it untouched, you know, just kind of leave it as is, and not mess with it.
You don't want to mess it up, right? Sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Because if you do, they'd be like, I'm picturing an alternate universe now. They're like, season two's announced, and it comes out, and everyone's like, you've ruined the franchise. It's like, oh shit, no, because that is a huge possibility. But Firefly, though, man, that's all. So you got Nightwing, you have Firefly on your record there. Like, that's doing really well for acting, to say the least, you know?
Yeah. Thanks.
Of course. I do like giving credit where credit's due on sort of thing there. And, you know, it's something that's been a part of it. Now, do you have your own little Firefly merch shelf at home sort of thing?
I don't. Not as bad as Nathan. Nathan's got a whole, like, shrine.
I heard about that, yeah.
But I have a bunch of stuff. I tend to donate it to charity.
Really?
Cool. I try. I'm a rather more of a minimalist.
Don't want to keep too much of the one thing.
I'm not sentimental like that. With things.
It's not bad.
If I have stuff, I usually do my best to try and put them to good use.
The charity thing, though, I did not expect that. That's really cool, by the way. That's awesome. Because people are like, oh, I gave it to a fan or something like that. But it's like, no, if you do the charity thing, it's still somewhat giving the fans, but it's also like doing it for a good cause.
Yeah. I mean, I do that too. I give it to people who, you know, if a friend tells me, oh, you know, my neighbor's son, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'll put together a little care package. And just, you know, kind of assemble whatever I've got going.
Fair enough. Like, Do you have a favorite fan experience? Because I've been having a lot of those recently myself with fans from comics I write and films and stuff. Do you have a fan experience? Do you think it's been like one of your favorite ones a little bit? It doesn't have to be terrible. If it's, you don't want to throw anybody out there, but
like, yeah, no, I guess all of mine have been pretty
uneventful.
You know, everyone's like, oh, are they? You know, fans crazy? You know, are they? And no.
Well, I mean, it's not to be crazy. Like, the guy who's like, I have a picture of you that I look up in my bed every day. No, not that type of fan. I'm not like the type of person who's like, hey, you know, this what this meant to me sort of thing. Like, if it, is it, you've had run into those fans? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, the constantly. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, fans speaking so kindly of the show and how it either got them through an incredibly difficult time or, you know, changed their life in some way. And I'm always speechless. I'm always so grateful. I mean, a lot of feedback that's blown me away.
Yeah, and it kind of keeps you going, doesn't it? Like, it's, at least fan reviews do for me. Do fan reviews kind of keep you going a little bit on that one when, like, people, like, tell you this stuff? You're like, okay, the bad times don't seem as bad, and, you know, let's just keep on creating.
Sure, yeah. To be a part of something.
Yeah, like...
like that, it's absolutely...
Do you have, like, a favorite moment from Firefly that... I know it's probably a question that you get asked a lot, but I do have to ask for fans. Do you have, like, a fun moment from Firefly you like to talk about a little bit that doesn't annoy you to death?
I mean, I think there's too many to... so many. I mean, there's so many on-screen and off-screen, you know.
Yeah.
Babies being born off-screen and jokes while the camera's rolling and... just fun times watching, you know, Joss and Tim run to set when they broke a story. Just like countless memories.
And it's got to be, I agree 100% in that fact where there's stuff behind the camera that maybe fans never get to see. And it's always just like the most fun memories. And sometimes you can't talk about it because maybe it throws someone underneath the bus or something. It sucks. But it is those moments, I think, behind the cameras that often make it the best, you know? Ones where maybe they're not rolling you with everybody on a set. At least it's been for me working on films. Like, when the cameras stop rolling and maybe in between scenes as an actor or crew member, you tend to have the most fun when they're not rolling, right?
Yeah.
It's just, absolutely. It's something weird. It's not weird, but I think it's one of the beautiful parts of what we do sort of thing. But how did you kind of land the role of Firefly? Was it one of those things you just kept working and then you just got into it?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of just the good old fashioned audition for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I was you know, it was busy pilot season, and I was presented with all these, you know, pilots that were coming up, and there was something called Firefly. You know, Joss Whedon, the creator of Buffy, and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting, but there was no script, I just had like 2 pages of dialogue, which was the scene in the pilot. And Simon is explaining to the crew, you know, what happened and how they came to be there on the ship. And that was it. I was so intrigued. And so when I met Joss, that's the first thing I said. I was like, you know, gosh, this is really amazing. I just don't really understand what's happening. So he explained. So I got to hear the world of Firefly, you know, from his mouth, which was extraordinary.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
And then that was it. I had a great audition with him. I called my agent right after. I said, oh my gosh, you know, there's no script. I know this is a long shot, but oh my goodness, I really just want to work with this man. He's just an extraordinary human, and he's genius. And so that was it. So I had to wait 2 weeks before they tested me, and then they tested me, and I got it and went to work.
That's awesome. That should
tell you. That was it, yeah.
Oh, that should tell you right there, man, that Joss is an amazing guy, and the fans out there too, because what I don't often hear that it was an audition where he told you what the world of it is.
Yeah, well, I asked him, since there was no script, I was like, tell me about the show. So that, you know, he just...
That's awesome that he did that, because there's... I've been auditions where I'd be like, hey, can you tell me a little bit about this? No, you can't know. It's like, okay then. So I'd have seen like, okay, that's fine. But that's cool that he actually was, like, able to he told you stuff. He's like, all right, we'll help you out a little bit. Because sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. Do you run into that auditions a little bit where they give you some information and then they don't? Or...
You know, if I ask, and usually they do.
Usually. Lucky.
Or I ask before. I'll have, you know, my manager do some investigating for me if I'm confused about anything.
Fair enough. Now we're coming to the end of the show here, Sean, and I gotta say thank you though for coming on, man. This has been like it's been like a very informational sort of thing here for everybody at home.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, and we don't like it to try to be, this is the part of the show, it's like where I don't like it to be the Times interview sort of thing. That's why we like to have a conversation, you know? Like, that's why I want to say thank you for coming on, because I heard good things about you. And I'm like, Sean would be a fun guy to have on the show. That's way too much.
Yeah.
I
appreciate it.
Of course.
I appreciate you having me, yeah.
Now, you said before there's nothing really upcoming and whatnot, but do you have any social media you want to promote?
I guess Twitter and Instagram. I don't even know what my handles are. I think it's Sean_M_Mar.
Okay.
On both. Yeah, it's funny. I got an earful from my daughter last night, telling me how I should be posting more.
Really? Like, right. Really? The daughter went?
My 12-year-old sitting there. And I'm like, aren't you doing homework? She's like, she's like, if you want me to manage it, I'm like, okay. Back to language arts, please.
It's that point where you're like, do I? No.
She's like, I mean, I can help you if you want to, like, you know, go live. And I'm like, how do you even know what that is? Because secretly, I don't know what that is.
You know, it's not a bad way to go about it, man. I signed contracts with my agency saying I got to put it out there and do stuff and other stuff for networks and everything. But I think social media is one thing. If you're doing what you're doing with it, and you have it, but you don't really, like, know that much about it, or you don't have it, keep doing that. Don't dive into the world, whatever you do.
Yeah, I mean, I binge post, so it's like, really? You know, especially if I'm with Jewel, you know, it's nonstop posting, and then I go dormant for a while.
Fair. You're like, is Sean alive? I don't know.
I just feel like, I guess I could post, like, pictures of my dogs or something. I just never think that's worth...
I think if you do that, fans are still going to be like, look at him, Sean posted pictures of his dogs, this is amazing, like, okay. Oh, God, see, as a comic book guy, I have to, like, with doing that stuff, people are like, promote the artwork, I'm like, okay, fair enough. Social media can be a beast. Have you had any bad experiences on there?
I did have, like, a couple times, or, you know, it was a very, it was just an instant report and block type. Very derogatory about my sexuality and
people.
Yeah, there were just a couple times of, you know, I don't know, it just came out of nowhere, you know. But other than that, not really. Not really.
I'm jealous. I've mentioned it before on the show, and I know fans, I don't know if they still, they probably don't listen, screw them, but there was, and I put out there on the scene of Game of Thrones when Game of Thrones was going on, let me tell you, Sean, if you ever decide to post anything, don't post anything hot button topic about, like, a show going on, because I posted about that petition when it was coming out at the end of the season. I said real fans wouldn't sign the Game of Thrones petition. They would accept the storyline for what it is and move on from it and try to enjoy what's given. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
There was things said about me that I'm like, wow, it feels like I'm back in high school or something. I wish I could go through and maybe block all those people, but it got in a couple hundreds where I was like, nope, that's just going to take a full day of giving these people credit. And so there was just so many things out there. I was like, wow. Some of them I'd like and be like, hey, you're really creative. I hope you write a book someday. Like, comment back. You're like, hey, I don't care. Like, if you come at me and whatnot, like, I'm like, okay, whatever. Some things I will. Like, if it's really, really, really personal, like there was something about my grandmother or family, I'm like, nope, you're blocked immediately.
Yeah.
That's like, we draw the line a little bit. So people out there listening right now, don't be an asshole on social media, because you'll just get blocked. It never works. Oh, man. Well, Sean, yeah, we're coming in here. I don't want to take too much more of your time today, so I definitely want to thank you for coming on. And
yeah, man.
Oh, it was fun having you on. It really was. Like, I don't ever get to talk about Firefly of all things with people, to say the least, on the show.
Oh, good.
And
I had a good time.
Yeah, and do you have any, like, before I let you go, though, I do want to ask, because I do like asking people a little bit of this. Is because I try to give out my advice and whatnot, but do you have any advice out there for maybe actors of on screen or voiceover?
Oh, gosh. I wish someone had told me to take greater risks and make more mistakes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just fail and fall. I can just stop trying to get it right all the time. I wish someone had told me that.
I actually really dig that a lot because, you know, how are you going to learn to be better if you don't fall?
Sure.
And it's like, I dig that because in this business, you can't ever be 100%. And it's despite everyone's like, it's always going to be 100%. It ain't always going to be. You know, some things go wrong. Like we mentioned before the show, some things go wrong. You lose a gig and lose some stuff.
Sure.
But you just got to, if you fall, you learn to, like, it's just a damn Batman quote of, why do we fall, Master Bruce? Learn to pick ourselves back up, sort of thing. But, man, all right. Well, Sean, thank you for coming on. And folks at home, if you guys want to follow me, you can follow me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter and at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram. And go ahead and follow Sean for whenever he posts, to say the least. Is there anything recent, though, that people should check out that recently came out, whether comic-related or not?
I just did a quick thing on The Rookie with Nathan.
Cool.
Which was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, folks, check out The Rookie just for that. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and stay classy, Gotham.